the Douglas Stank Podcast. This is the Douglas Stank Podcast. This is Nathan from the band Douglas Stank, and I'm joined by who? That's your cue. your cue.
Which cue? Oh, my cue. Your cue.
Who are you?
Hey, this is Henry. I am also a member and a client of Douglas Stank.
Yes. And today we are joined by a special guest. And who is this?
Hi, I'm Catherine, and I'm joining the podcast today. I'm from a totally different band called Vigo Patrigo. I'm an occasional guest of Douglas Stank on a few songs.
Nice.
I understand that you have your own podcast.
Yes, I do. It's called Calm Down, Catherine. I get a little riled up about things sometimes, and I like to go off about them. In fact, what a wonderful transition, because I heard you guys were talking about the song Hot Takes today.
Listen to my hot takes is the topic, but
I know,
Henry, you like to dive right into the song and you don't like to dawdle beforehand, but I do want to bring to everyone's attention, all our loyal listeners out there, you recently texted me some breaking news on a topic near and dear to everyone's hearts. What was that? Could you hear us?
Oh, wait, is this me?
I was addressing you.
Hold on, were you addressing me or Catherine?
About a very important topic.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. It's the latest thing in artisanal beverages.
I love everything artisanal.
I think this is where we're going. Who's ever eaten a curly fry and said, you know, I'd like to drink this if it were like 80 proof?
Probably nobody.
I mean, I often wish I were drunk if I am eating a curly fry. That's true.
That's the thing. Well, now Arby's has made nobody's dream come true, and they have made curly fry vodka.
Curly fry vodka. Made
from
potatoes.
Not just regular.
But here's a question. You know what kind of fries I like better than the curly fries? Is their crinkle cut fries. I wish I could be drunk and think about crinkle cut fries. Is that an option?
You know, that is an option.
Yes.
I did see.
You can get crinkle cut fry vodka.
I don't know, because I mostly have good things to say about Arby's, so they could sponsor us, except the last time I went to Arby's, they were out of crinkle cut fries, so I'm not really in the mood to promote them right now, but usually I am. Just right now, I'm a little bit salty. Just like the French fry vodka!
You know, it's weird. So true. Is some people might say a fast food brand coming out with a vodka, that doesn't make a lot of sense, except... Really, if it's a way in which you might give yourself explosive diarrhea, it should be an Arby's product.
Oh! Oh, yes.
What about, does that mean Taco Bell tequila's next? It has bonita flavor.
It's got, what I don't it's got get little bits of vomit in it.
Oh, God. Yes, Taco Bell tequila.
No, I did read that link from that exciting story, and here's the question I'd like to ask. I get like to view life through Venn diagrams. That's how I understand the world. Am I right? That's a good way to do it, right?
Yeah.
You come from a math background. And I would like to know what the intersection is, because I saw in the article, it said this vodka is selling for $60. I'd like to know the Venn diagram, the intersection of people who would spend $60 on a fifth of vodka and those who would buy Arby's brand vodka.
And not only Arby's brand, but Arby's brand flavored curly fry vodka. Or crinkle cut.
Can I go on a limb and say that's the empty set?
All right, but wait. I just thought of something as you were saying that. Once upon a time, I got a $100 gift card to Arby's for Christmas. The thought being that that would last me a whole year.
Your entire life.
But you know what? It ended up lasting my entire life because no one at Arby's knew how to ring up a gift card. So, therefore, if they're selling the liquor at Arby's, that could be genius.
Well, I think they are only selling it through a website.
Oh, well, that's...
They probably don't have liquor licenses at most Arby's.
That's too bad.
Oh.
Why not Arby's sauce flavored vodka?
No. I was thinking they'd make horsey sauce absinthe. Wouldn't that make more sense?
Absinthe makes the horsey sauce seem fonder.
Oh my god. You must have been drinking curly fry vodka to come up with that. Absinthe yes. makes the... You gotta do it like a Johnny Carson read on that. Absinthe makes the curly fry vodka fonder.
The thing is, it comes in these really big cups.
Have you heard of these big gulps? Like, a regular size gulp isn't big enough. You gotta have a big gulp. Who can drink that much?
That's an actual quote from an episode of Johnny Carson's Tonight Show.
Was that like a guest comedian?
They've come out with a 32-ounce big gulp. How could you drink that much? And then there's laughter.
You know, we're going to be talking about hot takes, and I've got one right here. I don't think Johnny Carson is funny.
Oh! Well, he's not very funny now.
No, I did think he had a great joke when he said, did you hear about what happened who was it? Oh, the boy George at sea? They caught him scraping barnacles off his dinghy.
I don't even get it.
Wait, no, maybe it wasn't Boy George.
It doesn't make any sense. Except
it was George. No, it was George Michael.
Either way.
Did you hear what happened to George Michael out at sea? They caught him scraping barnacles off his dinghy.
What if Boy George was scraping the barnacle off of George Michael's dinghy? That'd be better.
That could have happened too. We don't know. This is all like, this must be Legends of the 80s. This segment. It needs a theme song already. Or Lost Carson Reels.
I gotta work on my impression, and then I'm on it.
Yeah, get your Johnny down.
Right. Anyway, so we have Catherine on here as a special guest because, I don't know if you know about this, in the lyrical content of the song.
Oh, I know. I bet I can tell you.
Listen to my hot takes.
Yes.
Not all the hot takes are mine. Some of them come from, what was the name of your podcast again?
Calm down, Catherine.
Calm down. Is that available everywhere? That
it's podcast? Available anywhere you get your podcast from.
Calm down, Catherine, huh?
I'll bet you that I can identify at least one of Catherine's hot takes.
Really? Because we were thinking we might quiz you. On a take-by-take basis. Okay. Should we get into that now, or should we break down the song? Well, we have this guest here now.
Yeah, well, she's there now.
We normally dive into the lyrical content of the song first.
But I'm starring in a major motion picture. I don't have all the time in the world. Let's get moving.
She's got a heart out in a certain amount of time. And so, should we go through all the takes, or we should pick some, or... We go through, because then we also got to say, are these actually hot takes or are they not takes? Hot takes.
I can tell you
my favorite one of Catherine's, I think. That people, can I go for it?
Yeah, go for it.
That people can't tell the difference between Kevin Costner and Mel Gibson.
Oh, that gets me so riled up. I almost got fired because I almost punched someone in the face over that.
That is her hot take. That's not my hot take.
That is definitely Catherine's hot take.
All right, that's a correct one for you. Are there any other that stand out as her hot takes?
Ding, 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 ding. We need like an alert. First of all, there should be a theme song for this segment, probably.
How would it go?
You guys have to get on that.
It go like, hot takes, not my hot takes. Hot takes, not my hot takes. Something like that.
I guess that could be the theme song. Hold on.
Really? Look at how professional the podcast is. He just got up to answer the phone.
Hey, he's a popular guy.
Was that that was another show calling.
Yeah.
He's very important.
I think it was the producer for Catherine's movie.
That was the newest podcast, Calm Down Justin.
Or was this call, maybe it might have been Catherine's attorney.
It's her
making
agent.
Sure that we, her agent, yeah, making
reminding
sure that
us how little time we got left.
Yeah, and also don't forget that this is some of this is her intellectual property.
Oh yeah, we'll have to work that out.
A portion of any of the proceeds gained.
All right, so what do you got on your list, Nathan? What's the first hot take?
Well, the first one is let's burn all the places others like to the ground. Is that a hot take or not a hot take?
There's fire.
I mean, culturally and societally, that should be that is a hot take. We don't want to burn places down. It's dangerous.
All right, I'll say it's not a hot take. That was very popular when this song was written, burning places to the ground.
That everybody likes, especially.
Okay, let's free all the pit bulls from the pound.
Wait a minute. The first one. Do we know whose that one was?
Ah, wait a minute. Okay, that one is Nathan. That's your hot take.
I don't actually believe in that.
So you're saying aren't there always society's the hot take?
It's hot. You know what? That's a hot. I'll say it's my hot take. That's a hot take. Like all the talking heads on the TV when they get the shows with the countdown timers, and they gotta deliver their takes. Or otherwise they'll be fired as television personalities. Just like this next one, let's free all the pit bulls from the pound.
So do you mean like let's adopt them? Or do you mean like let them run free in like packs?
Let them run loose. It'll be like the purge.
Like dogs?
The purge pit bull.
I've never seen the purge. I just imagine that there's pit bulls running free.
Okay, first of all, who do you think the pit bull one is?
Oh, yes. That is Nathan.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, that is a very hot take. I don't think the pit bull should be released from the pound.
3 for 3.
All right, here's a hot take you won't hear on TV. All the statues in public should be made to look like me.
All the statues in public should be made to look like me. That is a good hot take. That is a Catherine hot take.
Oh, I mean, they would be more beautiful, so that is a good idea, but I didn't come up with that one.
Yeah, that's all me. Of course, all the statues should be me.
It makes sense. White male. Get it?
It's an easy transition.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh.
That's good.
All right, what's next?
You should never, ever litter unless you really want to.
You should never litter. Oh, that's a Catherine hot take. Am I right?
I mean, it's more of a life goal. My philosophy.
Yes.
What's our take? What if you litter, but it's food, like a banana peel or an apple core? Is that littering?
No, biodegradable.
No, that's biodegradable.
All right, here's another question. What if it's
mulching? That's just mulching, Catherine.
Okay, good.
Gum lasts 7 years in someone's belly, right? So it's going to last forever out in the ground.
So I think that's littering. Like the most mad I've ever been at my kids is when they stuck their gum to the outside of the house on the brick. There was a lot of screaming about that.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's the next one. It's selfish that no other bands will stand to fight Foo.
It seems like maybe more of a joke.
I think that's Nathan's.
So, all right. Do you have a rating on whether that's hot or not?
No, at a rating, we should have a fire scale, like scorching, flaming.
This Foo could be put down if, like...
Maybe if we had, like, the Foo soldiers, the Foo battlers.
If, like, Third Eye Blind, if they were joining in the fight against Foo, we could nip this in the bud.
Wait a minute, is this a Johnny Carson joke?
Do you know why... Do you all know why old people can't fight Foo? Because Egg Foo Young. Ah.
I can't believe we got Johnny Carson on our podcast. It's amazing.
It's Johnny.
Okay, here's the hottest take, and this is going to stir a debate. Nobody wants to hear your birth story.
Now, wait a minute, though. I'd say that's a Catherine take and a Nathan take, maybe both. Right?
You know, I feel it's worded a little bit strongly because I don't mind hearing your birth story one time. I will listen intently once. I don't want to hear it again, and I don't want to hear it in great detail.
Isn't it the fun, though, is to listen to it over and over again so you can pick out what's changed?
I don't want to hear about, and then the placenta flew out and hit the doctor splat right in the eye. Or... The baby was born so fast that the umbilical cord acted like a bungee cord and pulled the baby back inside my uterus. Like, I don't need to hear it.
You don't want those gory details? Those are great. Or suddenly the placenta started crying.
Yeah, it turns out the placenta had become self-aware.
Yes.
When the placenta is born, does the doctor have to spank it?
You got to make sure that it's not alive.
Yeah, you got to give it an Apgar. Apgar rating.
What's an Apgar?
I don't know. That's where they basically.
Yeah, they basically. That's when they got to check what color the baby is, as far as it blue or not. Not any like not. This isn't like a, you know, like a judgment on any ethnicity or anything. It's just, is it a blue baby? Is it, does it look oxygenated? Is it moving air?
Ready for the Blue Man Group.
Yeah, is it part of the Blue Man Group? If it is, then that's a problem. Usually. Right,
the next hot take to rhyme with birth story is, I think RoboCop was too gory.
Here's the question.
Whose take was that?
That's a Catherine take.
And that is my take. Are you kidding me? I saw RoboCop when it went, like, on video shortly after it came out. So how old would I have been? Like 10?
You know what, though? I have that same memory of when they're like blowing apart his limbs.
Remember when they're demonstrating Ed 209 in like the boardroom, and they can't shut it down, and it just like shoots at executive like 118 times.
Yes. Like oh my god!
It was like the world record for the number of squids they had attached to the guy, and they actually had to edit that scene down because otherwise it would have been given an X rating.
Oh my gosh!
Did he
turn into like pulp?
Yeah, it's like they put the blood packs on, so it just looks like his flesh is flying apart. It's very disturbing.
I like RoboCop 3 because it has the kid actor who played Spot Collins in Newsies, and he's a dreamboat. I only saw like 2 minutes of it, but he was still a dreamboat.
That's a hot take.
Hot take.
That's a hot take. That's a hot Catherine take.
All right, the next one. I think this is obviously a hot take. You can burn yourself when you touch hot things.
That's literally a hot take.
It's literally a hot take?
Hot take.
That's Nathan's hot take.
Yep.
The next one is, it doesn't even matter how well the red commie sings.
That seems more like a philosophy thing, not necessarily a take. It probably matters to the commies.
I'll tell you what this is. This is shots fired in our upcoming beef with They Might Be Giants.
Because they what? Like commies?
Because they wrote a song called The Communists Have the Music.
No.
Yeah, recently, a couple years ago.
Like, I think that must have been ironic.
No, because they were like, the fascists might have nice uniforms and march around and stuff, but the communists have the music. As if you could only pick one side between the fascists and the communists.
Okay.
Yeah, right, exactly. The problem with a lot of the early communist songs is a lot of them were written by Lenin, I think. No good.
You like the Paul ones better?
Ew.
ew. You like the Paul ones better. Excellent.
All right.
Good.
This, I don't know. Maybe this is one of your hot takes. The next one is, I don't believe what you say about Greek yogurt.
Oh, man. Is that mine or is that Catherine's?
You know, I know a lot of people who have gone completely over completely. To Greek yogurt. Completely. Yes. They have replaced most of their life with Greek yogurt, and I just don't buy it. I'm not gonna start eating Greek yogurt.
What about you? Sometimes you're otherwise going to the store and buying lots of different kinds of white goop. Right?
I am not gonna eat any kinds of white goop.
My fridge is now filled with sour cream.
Yes.
Cream cheese.
I don't know. I can't complete the
ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing.
White frosting.
Tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce.
No,
all
wait
those
a minute.
Things you replace with Greek yogurt.
Grout.
All of that is replaced Greek yogurt.
Gone completely over. You'd put it on your tacos, your bagel.
I think it just
your salad.
You could just get rid of everything else. And just buy some Greek yogurt and just, you know, label it jizz.
Jizz. You can put it on tots.
Put it on everything.
Put it on tots.
Wait a minute, though, but the problem is that's regular yogurt, too. No, I mean, yogurt just kind of is.
It's not the same somehow. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know the difference, but I've been told it's a huge difference.
One thing, though, too, that really bothers me about this whole Greek yogurt thing, they've not only, people have gone completely over, and then in the stores, they've replaced most of the regular yogurt with Greek yogurt.
Oh, come on!
Come on.
I know! Try to find your favorite flavor now of regular yogurt. No, you have to get it up on Greek.
That. I've gone completely over to Greek yogurt, so I have to try to find that flavor in Greek now.
Ah. It's all that. All they do is they cram in all that horrible protein.
Is that
you know
the difference?
Who the hell needs that much protein? Like as if we don't get protein other places. Hello, there is Arby's in this world.
Hello.
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 You know. You Greek know what? Yogurt. You know what would be good on Arby's sandwich? Greek yogurt.
That must already. That must be coming.
In fact, what I'm going to do is
Euro Greek yogurt.
I'm gonna make Arby sandwich salad out of a. I'll take a blender and I'll put in two Arby sandwiches and like a pint of Greek yogurt and just blend
and
that
Arby
up.
And Arby sauce.
And now it's a spread.
Now you gotta throw in some horsey.
Yeah. Now
and
it's a spread.
Horse sauce.
A delicious, nutritious spread.
Yeah, it's like tuna salad.
I say it pairs well with a curly fry vodka.
Mmm, delicious.
You know what I think you just made is Arby mite. Just like there's Vegemite. This is Arbymite.
You can drink it through a straw. It's a Jamocha shake.
I don't know if anyone is in Australia has ever listened to our music.
They need to send us a... What could they send to let us know they're listening?
A wallaby?
Yeah, send us a wallaby.
Not a platypus. Platypi die in this hemisphere. That's what I heard.
Do they really?
I feel like I heard that somewhere.
How do they know? How do they test that?
The Coriolis effect. That's why.
Mm.
The toilet's flushing the wrong way. They don't know what to do about it. They can't handle it, and they drop dead.
It just blows their mind, literally.
The next hot take.
It's like I've seen out of RoboCop.
The next hot take, trying to do a backflip for the first time is going to hurt.
Trying to do a backflip. Yes, and that is Catherine. Right? No.
So, all right. Officially, that's Nathan. But
that from watching TBD channel.
Yeah. See, you'd think that wouldn't be a hot take, but everybody on TBD thinks they can do a backflip, and they just try and they land on their face. They don't. They don't think about, oh, maybe I can't do a backflip.
I've never looked into where TBD gets their videos, but I imagine people submit them online or they go and seek out videos, and it's like people are all trying to copy. Like oh, I'll do a backflip video. I'm totally in shape. And then they don't get anywhere close to finishing the backflip. Like, why did you film yourself the first time you tried the backflip? It's going
to
hurt.
So you can send it to TBD.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose. You got to send that in. You get a t-shirt. It's a small price to pay for a t-shirt, right?
Yeah, if they it play says your fail army, but your face is all splatted up.
The next hot take... I think most children practice poor personal hygiene. A conspiracy to support corporate rash cream.
That is Nathan.
Yeah.
That one's not even that hot. That's just true.
Now, what makes it... So, you know, I guess I should have asked for our definition of a hot take. I guess it's like the talking head controversial take, right? That's the
what's gonna get you canceled.
Yes. Well, yeah.
What's gonna stir up talk? What's gonna get people retweeting you?
Yes, yeah.
So the next one is, I didn't leave jean shorts, they left me.
Oh man, that could be, I imagine that could be either one of you, but I'm thinking Nathan.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes. You know what?
I agree, though, because, like, all of a sudden, jean shorts are out, and you call them jorts to add insult to injury? Like, when did that happen? What other kind of shorts would you want me to wear? Jean shorts are the way to go.
Well, they stopped making the ones I liked wearing. They stopped making...
The booty ones?
Yeah.
Booty, 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 booty everywhere.
They stopped making like baggy JNCOs and kickwear and all that fun stuff.
Are these all the ones you could hang your like carpenter hammer from? You know, like the ones that are, you can supposedly work in. Those,
yeah, the ones that like go, you know, like 5 inches below my knee. And they're shorts.
Yeah,
all the cool shorts. Now
wait a minute. Aren't we kind of getting close to capri territory then?
Yes.
Shut your mouth.
Or are those culottes?
Ew.
Ew. Are those culottes or are you happy to see me? Ew. Gotta keep those knees in the culottes.
To rhyme with that, the next line is, I prefer water to all forms of hot tea.
Oh man. That's probably a Nathan hot take.
Well, I think
yes, but I agree.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is probably a much hotter take at Henry's house because I hear he knows some tea drinkers in his family.
Some tea sippers.
Oh my god, yeah. The tea spillers. The tea sippers. As long as they're not tea baggers. They're not tea baggers, for the record. They read the tea leaves. That's
true. Drinking the tea from a big gulp cup.
Oh, who needs that much tea?
Okay, well then, we already went over the one about Kevin Costner and Mel Gibson.
But we need to flesh it out a little, I think.
Well, that was a hot take. So what podcast did you say that on?
So there's this other podcast that I'm part of called Calm Down, Catherine, and probably our first episode.
Oh, episode. That's a good one to get your feet wet with.
Yeah, so... here's the story. I'll try to keep it short. I work with this guy, and he's trying to tell me that the plot... Like, I don't know how it came up, but I was saying that Waterworld and Mad Max 2 are the same plot. And he's like, no. And I'm explaining to him how they're the same plot. And so I'm explaining the plot of Mad Max 2. And he's like, no, that's Waterworld. I'm like, exactly. You can't tell the difference. And then he can't figure out... The Mel Gibson's in one and Kevin Costner's in the other. It is the same plot, but it's not the same person.
Now, did he think they were both Mel Gibson or both Kevin Costner?
He wasn't even recognizing that they were two different movies. I don't know. I almost punched him in the face. It was making me so mad.
Now, when they do try to play straight roles and like play it cool, it is hard to tell the two apart.
Yeah, especially they both had like longish hair in those movies, right? Because they're post-apocalyptical.
That's right. You know, and then they're, and on top of it, they were both like in their heyday in the 80s.
Yep.
So maybe, are we sure they are two different people?
Yes.
You yes, are sure. We covered this.
We covered this.
All right, move on before we get in a heated debate here.
To rhyme with that one, the next hot take is, I hate the hokey pokey. I don't want to put my hips in.
Are you kidding me? You know what? I had to step in because it's a very hot take because you know what my favorite part of the Hokey Pokey is?
What's that?
Putting my hips in. That's the best part.
I thought shaking it all about.
But yeah, so why the hips? Why of all the parts that you put in and out?
Because it rhymes with Gibson.
You know what? No. You put your hips in, you take your hips out. That's where I feel like I'm really dancing.
I see.
I can really put my, you know, put a groove on it.
It goes from novelty to actual dance.
Oh. Novelty to dance, yeah. I see, because the hips are moving. Yeah. Why don't they call individual hips? Because they'll say put your right foot in, right foot out. What
you
about
want
your left
the hokey
hip?
Pokey to take longer?
Right hip.
Yes, I do. I love the hokey pokey.
Put your middle toe in, put your middle toe out.
Yes, there you are. That's the way it should be done if you're going
to
truly
you shake
hokey.
It from
that's how
left
they really
to right.
Do it. I wonder where the hokey pokey came from. I mean,
I think I don't remember the details, but I'll do some research and get back to you. I believe this was detailed in the bathroom book.
Oh, nice. Oh, I thought you were going to say on the bathroom wall. Like someone just scrawled it up there. Hey, the hokey pokey is really from Holland.
Exactly. Maybe I should start that. Now every bathroom I go in, I'll put the history of the hokey pokey.
For a good time, call Ed and do the hokey pokey.
Call Ed and put your left hip in for a good time. Then take it out.
Ew.
Scrape those barnacles off the dinghy. That's a good hot take, though, honestly.
The next one is, Ignore the fashion trends. Tell the hipsters to keep their mouths shut. You're going to need to cut your hair to keep the roaches out your butt.
Wait a minute. To keep the roaches out of your butt?
Yeah.
Now is this just long hair that where it usually grows, or is this long hair?
Long head hair.
Long head hair. Okay. I guess that is kind of a hot take because, you know, you're going against all the fashionable advice. Except for that one year in like 2000 when all the dirty grunge people decided, "Hey, we should get haircuts, man. That would like throw everyone off."
So whose hot take was this?
Catherine.
Kinda.
That is your hot take. Yeah.
So
from an episode of what podcast?
That's Calm Down Catherine. So one of the episodes in my podcast is, so there were some cockroaches where I work, and they were on the ceiling.
So there's cockroaches. All right, fine. There's cockroaches. Does that make you happy?
They're gigantic. Right. They're gigantic, and they're on the ceiling, and that freaked me out more than anything else because I was sure they could drop onto my head and then ride my hair down to my butthole, and then. Up they go. So I think right now it's in style to have very long hair. And go ahead, have long hair, but just you gotta cut it off like before it gets to your butt, or else you're just offering those cockroaches a free ride.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I don't know. Butt cockroaches. I don't think I've ever heard the two together, those two terms.
So
that is a hot take.
So, Henry, you have some medical knowledge. Do you have you heard of a lot of people coming into the emergency room with cockroaches in their buttholes?
Not cockroaches, but certainly like small mammals. Let's see.
Mice? Is that a reason why people don't want mice in their house? Because the mice are trying to get in their buttholes?
That could be. Well, they do like dark, cold places. Or dark, warm places.
Yeah.
That's where I keep my Limburger cheese.
Now, wait a minute. Was that like a W.C. Fields? We're going retro from Carson.
He steals from everybody.
Yeah. Hey, you know what else would fit is that hot take on kids? Children are in a conspiracy with the hygiene companies. That'd be a good like W.C. Fields hot take because he legendarily hated kids and loved Arby's.
Oh. Very famously loved Arby's.
Yes.
All right. The next hot take. This one is going. You're gonna have to really think about this one. Chocolate diamonds are just as bad as French fries with peels. Diamonds. Chocolate diamonds are just as bad as French fries with peels.
With peels.
Gotta parse that one out.
I think this is a Catherine take. Because I know she doesn't like...
Ding, ding, ding.
You know what? I'm gonna say that is false.
Well, it's kind of a combination.
Because she does believe that chocolate diamonds are terrible. But she does not think French fries with peels are terrible. That's my take.
Well, I don't think they're great. I don't want my French fries to have peels. It's just not the end of the world if they do.
Yes, that's why that's not your hot take. That's my hot take. It is the end of the world when my French fries have peels.
Now, maybe. What about Tato skins? Do you all remember the... wasn't that a famous... or a famous? Was it Frito-Lay? Or Keebler?
Have a chip that was Keebler. Like that.
Yeah, I can't believe Keebler dipped their toes into the chip world with the Tato skin.
So Nathan has been seen out and about at restaurants where they have skins on the French fries. He eats out all of the like non-skin parts and leaves all the skins on his plate. And some people, that blows their mind.
Like you shouldn't eat them if they're called peels. They're supposed to be peeled off.
That is a good point. Yeah, if it's a peel, you wouldn't like eat the peel off a banana. You know, you wouldn't eat the peel off an orange. You'd leave it.
Exactly.
You don't eat the shell of the oyster.
Right. You don't eat oyster peels.
The egg.
And you don't eat
egg peels.
Or the eggshell, right? So it only makes sense you would leave the peel.
Sorry, the only peel I'm eating is Emma peel.
What?
Oh.
Doesn't even make sense.
Hey.
All right, move on. This one's too hot. You can't handle it.
You're going to have to like bleep out some of these takes. They're super hot. Scorching.
All right, the next one is Taco Bell isn't the food for road trip meals.
Oh, my. Well, you know, there'd be disagreement with that. Thankfully, my better half isn't here because she would disagree. But I would say that
road trips progress at a rate of 12 miles an hour.
Now, I imagine, though, the advantage is you produce more gas, right?
Well, whose hot take was this?
This was Catherine's.
This is Catherine's.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, yes. Oh, my.
You know, it's kind of like the yellow light effect, right? Because, true, you're making more stops if you eat Taco Bell on your road trip. But aren't you going way faster in between those stops because you need to get to the bathroom?
That's true.
But they also, tacos are really messy for the car. They have this one thing that they have wrapped. What is it, like a cheesy gordita crunch or something?
I think it's filled with Greek yogurt.
Yeah, it's filled with Greek yogurt, but it's like wrapped like the shell, like a pita almost, so that it doesn't spill out. Because, yeah, eating a taco in the car is a terrible idea. Unless you want little bits of ground beef in the cuff of your pants.
Yeah, if you think about it, you're right. I mean, it's designed literally to drip out both sides and the top. You know, it isn't road trip food for that reason in and of itself. That makes a lot of sense. Now, the thing is, though, don't you guys read that? There is that warning, the Surgeon General's warning that it may cause explosive diarrhea. The Taco Bell, especially the Nacho Bell.
Is that a real thing?
It's the Surgeon General. It's right there, right? They print it right on the napkin. Surgeon General's warning.
Makes sense. They do it for cigarettes. They should do it for Taco Bell.
This Bel Grande may cause explosive diarrhea.
Studies have shown.
I don't want it. I'm not anti-Taco Bell. I just don't want to eat it on a road trip. I love Taco Bell. And now that we've talked about it, I'll probably have it tomorrow. But
now, one question. Would you eat Taco Bell like if you had to go after that to like a business meeting?
No.
Or like see family or something on the way, would you eat it?
My family would understand, but not for a business meeting. Nothing professional.
What about if you're going to the beach?
No.
Uh-oh. Why not the beach? Oh, is it because
you don't want to bring the sharks?
The sharks?
Either way.
All right, what do you got? What's next?
We only got a couple left.
Okay.
Val Kilmer should have 10 Oscars for playing Doc Holliday.
Hot take. 10 Oscars. This is hot a Catherine. Take.
Did you
right,
say Catherine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
I mean, we both love Val Kilmer in that movie, right? Like in Tombstone. It's a hot take because I've actually met some people who disagree with that. I have met people who didn't mind the movie, but thought that the Val Kilmer part was the worst part and that it was over the top, which is the stupidest words anyone's ever said to me. I'm sorry, Henry. Earlier, I should have asked, how do you feel about Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday in Tombstone?
As Doc Holliday in Tombstone? I the problem is I don't remember it well enough. You know, I thought it was good. But wait, wasn't that a Sam Raimi movie anyways? Or am I thinking of a different
No, it's not Sam Raimi.
Well, there were two movies that came out at the same time, both about the OK Corral and whatever. Right?
Yeah.
Am I saying that right? So it's a little confusing. But one of them One of them's Val Kilmer, and he's the best part.
Of every movie ever.
And the other one is Mel Gibson or Kevin Costner, I think, right? In the other movie?
The other one's Kevin Costner. There's a difference.
Wait, is Mel Gibson in the one with Val Kilmer? Is Mel Gibson in one of them?
No.
Now you've got me all confused. Who is the main guy in Tombstone?
Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe Kurt Russell and Mel Gibson are the same person.
Now, wait a minute, though. I had a theory Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer were the same person for a while.
The computer who wore tennis shoes?
Yes.
Maybe they made that movie together just to prove that that's not true. It's possible.
Yeah, that they're both young. At the time, they were, both young.
Did you see that recent story that Val Kilmer has lost his voice due to like cancer or something, and they're working on a technology that sends so much of his... You know, since he's an actor and he's been in a lot of movies, they can reconstruct his voice from all the recordings of it, and so they have a device that will that can approximate his voice that he can speak with. So they're working on this. Do you imagine how many times is he going through the day? He's at home with his family, and he pushes the button to say, "I'll be your Huckleberry."
Yeah, I was thinking there'd be a lot of like Top Gun line. They should make it just use Top Gun.
Does he have a school age child? Because then he'd be like, "Let's have a spelling contest."
Oh man, heck, I'd pay for a device that let me sound like, you know, 80s Val Kilmer. That sounds great. That's not just medical. That's like, that's useful in everyday life.
Your hypocrisy only goes so far.
All right, we don't need another. There's an episode of Calm Down, Catherine, where we do too much quoting.
Oh, is that your podcast?
Yeah, that's my podcast, where we do too much quoting of Val Kilmer. Let's move on. What's your next one?
Well, then the last one is cops shouldn't shoot people just because they run away.
Now, this is the most serious of these hot takes.
Is that a hot take?
You know, can I claim this one? I think it's a take that everybody should have. But
it's a hot take, though.
I love that it's the last take in the song, because if I'm suggesting this song to anyone, they might be like, oh, okay, silly, hot takes. But this hot take has the gravitas that you need to like make the song like a serious song that people should listen to. Otherwise, is it maybe just goofy?
Yes, you turned it from a gentle critique to a profound statement of our times.
I'm just saying it's a hot take because, like, I agree. Everybody should agree with this. But I will find it because, you know, cops shouldn't shoot people just because they run away. I'm not talking like, oh, cops, you know, oh, they shouldn't. Every time they shot somebody, they're wrong. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying there's instances where they've, you know, pulled someone over and the person panics and runs. I'm not saying they're right for running, but you shouldn't get shot in the back by a cop. Because, like, you aren't a hazard to the cop when you're running away. And they're not always shooting people who are like, you know, serial killers or rapists or some other capital crime or something like that, evading police. They're shooting people for misdemeanors.
That is true. I mean, yeah, if somebody's running away, there have been a bunch of well-known cases of late.
Like, there was that one, I think maybe around the time you were working on this song, if I remember correctly, there was that guy who fell asleep in the drive-thru at Wendy's. And maybe he fell asleep because he was drunk. But, I mean, he was running away.
We actually talked about that in the last episode we recorded months ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, this is a good connection to that, but that's absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine if that happened, like, well, at least it's people know that it's happening now.
It's just like sometimes
it happened in the past, but like people, it was just never reported.
Yeah. People will reflexively defend the police.
Yeah.
And some of these things, like if the person's run away, then they're not a danger. But like, okay, you could always say, okay, are they running away with a deadly weapon and they're running towards a crowd or something like that? You know, sure, there's different circumstances, but like, just the person running away, they got pulled over or something, and they're you know, whatever. It's just so dumb.
Yeah, and so they're obviously shooting them in the back too, which is like, I mean, how do you justify that? You're right. I mean, it's not like the person was running backwards while holding a gun. Right. They're just like running away.
All right. Well, those were all. Which of the takes do you think is the hottest?
The hottest of those takes. You know, I really think it's the Kevin and maybe the Kevin Costner, Mel Gibson.
I was sure you were going to say the Greek yogurt.
That's one of the hot takes too, though. One of the best. Well, that one that burns me the most, because sometimes you just need regular yogurt. I don't know if you guys have ever made a good tzatziki. If you're going to make a tzatziki, you need regular yogurt. Oh, no, maybe you need Greek yogurt. Shoot, I've been doing it wrong.
Certainly sounds Greek.
Yeah, it sounds Greek. Oh, man. Okay, well, but the other fact is, like, if you want a flavor on a yogurt and you just want to get a plain yogurt, you got to now get Greek yogurt. It's got to be Oikos or or some brands that like I'd have to be edited for saying. You know, all these Greek brands. They're offensive.
It offends me. Now, all right. Truthfully, I don't eat anything that is similar to the consistency of yogurt, Greek yogurt. Like, I don't need any of that. But I don't think Greek yogurt can replace every other white condiment there is. I mean, are you trying to tell me jizz is jizz? I don't buy it.
Yeah, that's kind of... So you're with me where you don't like homogenized foods? Like, that's one reason I despise mashed potatoes.
Oh.
They're like homogenized to the same consistency.
Now you're coming up with hotter takes.
Yeah, that's the hottest take I've heard all day. I don't eat... Like I like ice cream, but other than that, I don't eat, like, any of those other, like, soft cheese, dairy type things. Yeah. Like yogurt.
Cottage cheese?
Cottage cheese.
Oh, cottage cheese is worse, though, because it's little chunks in there.
It's got aren't they curds? Curds rhyme with turds? Gross. But mashed potatoes, Henry, have we ever done dinner and I made mashed potatoes for you and I made you eat them? I'm so sorry. I make mashed potatoes all the time.
You haven't. No, okay, you haven't, thankfully. I've always managed to avoid it. You've never made them. Because the thing is, to me, they fit in like adult food shouldn't be like pudding. If it's like pudding...
What if you came over and I made scrambled eggs and I put Greek yogurt on top of that?
Again, the number one problem with eggs is they can be scrambled. And then, because I don't do eggs anyways. That's another, I hate to add another hot take. Eggs are wrong. No yolk about it.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on the podcast.
Oh. Well, thank you again for coming in for this segment about the hot takes on this song. And what was the podcast again?
It's Calm Down, Catherine, and we actually have a segment that we do during my podcast about hot takes, and so I think some of these probably came up during that, so I'm glad that they were useful.
Yeah, people could listen to that podcast to further research the song.
Yep. So anyway, thanks, guys, and enjoy talking about the rest of your song, but my drink's empty, so I gotta head out. See you guys.
There you go. And your attorney will be calling soon here in a minute, your agent.
Yep.
Hard out.
I heard that you could get Chobani sauce now, too.
That's right, Henry. The delicious dressing that Pizza Bob's has been serving all these years while keeping the recipe a top secret is now available in bottles for home use. Chobani sauce, the delicious dressing that made Chobani famous and kept people coming back to Pizza Bob's for decades, can now be yours at home. Put it on salads, use it as a dip, dress up those homemade burgers, or put it on whatever you like.
You know, now you can have Chobani sauce shipped anywhere in your home in the continental United States.
Can't make it to Ann Arbor? You can have delicious Chobani sauce shipped to your home anywhere in the United States. Save yourself the trip to Ann Arbor and call today, 734-665-4517. 734-665-4517. What's that number again? 734-665-4517. All right, we're back. Catherine had to get away to her Hollywood jet-setting lifestyle. One day I hope that our podcast gets us that far.
Oh, it will.
All right. So
we're already in the jet here.
Now, this is a song called Listen to Our Hot Takes. We've gone over the hot takes. Now, let's talk about the music that went into it. We're going to listen to the guitars. And see if you can make any observation, but because there's going to be a surprise, I think, that keys the origin of this song. All right?
Okay. That sounds familiar.
What does that sound like?
Well, there are different levels that we could do that we could talk about that. On one level, to me, it sounds like a little discordant, a little kind of like Sonic Youth. You know, when you hear they're kind of, you know, a little jangly and discordant, which is great. It also sounds like another, I can't put my finger on it. Is it something we played together?
I will tell you where this song comes from. The file name when I was working on this, before I had the hot take words and everything, was Metal Mire, because in the song from our first release, She Turned Left on a Mire. Remember, I struggled because it's a blues song, and I'm not the biggest fan of the blues. And so there was one point at which I was like, why am I killing myself to make this a blues song? Maybe I could take. So I took the chord progression and I transposed it as low as you can in the guitar, and and then strummed it differently, more like a metal song, more like how you play Master of Puppets by Metallica, and then some other transformations later, and this guitar part is what it turned into. And at that point it was like, you know what, I'll finish the other one. I'll finish the other one as a blues song, but this will work for something completely different.
Yeah, but it's the same progression, kind of like a bluesy progression. But
I probably altered it along the way at some point, but it started the same, you know, whatever. Same, you know, I transposed it down to be lower and bassier because.
To me, it almost sounded a little bit like your studio wizardry where you construct chords with individual notes in MIDI. Or no, you'd play like three different takes and then stack them.
No, this is something. Yeah, I mean, this is something easily played with power chords with a guitar. Although I think actually this is stacked two guitars. I think it's played. I think it's two guitars playing the same part an octave apart. So it's like it's not as bassy as it was with the first thing. The first take would have been like really down, you know, really up the neck, as low as it could be. And then I also recorded another take an octave up.
Ah, so it's like two guitars, one an octave up from the other.
Yeah, to try to fill it out. Yeah, because it's just power chords, though.
All right. Well, yeah. Now, why is it? Is that why it's a little bit like? There are effects on it, though. I think, right?
Oh, sure,
We're hearing some effects. Yeah, it's a little bit almost like discordant, though, in its way. I think that's from effect, like how it's processed.
You gotta process the process, and you gotta affect the effects.
That's it. That's the truth, you know, because. It fit the lyrics. You really nailed it where it fit the kind of hot takes. You know how hot takes are supposed to make you a little uncomfortable. Definitely, there's a vague discomfort.
Yeah, because there's like delay and things on it. When sometimes you put a delay when you're doing like a lead line with single notes, and then you hear them echo, and other times. You put it on when you're like strumming something like this, and it just sort of it drones on, like ringing, and it kind of drags it through the mud.
Yes, and that's kind of I think what you were going. I love how like the structure of the song where it's playing, you got this kind of droning, dragging music, and then it stops, and then the takes pick up again. It's like there's a pause.
The next thing in the construction of the song was. The drums. If you want, we can play that clip and then come back and discuss the drums. All right. So those thundering drums.
You know, what I hear there, it really brings home to me some of the nature of this song. I don't think it's intent. I don't know if maybe it's intentional, too, to some degree. It has a little bit also of like kind of that like big black, like shellac Steve Albini kind of you know, minimalist. It's interesting how it has that parallel to me.
Maybe. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I mentioned when I was doing the guitar part that I was thinking of something like Master Puppets. Because when I was first learning, teaching myself guitar, one of the early songs I learned was Master Puppets.
Nice, okay.
But I'm putting the song together. I went in another direction when it came to like the other instruments coming. They don't come in and like pick the tempo up, right? So this is more minimal drums. They're more pounding and ringing out. They're not, you know, amping up like a speed metal sort of thing. I think you'll hear it. Like, we can play the bass and you can hear it in the bass too. You want to play that clip right now? All right, so like originally, you know, it picks up the frequency of the notes of strumming in the second verse with the bass. Originally, it was like that all the way through, but like I said, I wanted it to come in slower at the beginning so they can then vary as the song goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, that definitely does kind of have that Metallica kind of structure a little bit. You know, where it's kind of going, but then, oh, this part mirrors that part, but then it's a little more elaborate.
I don't know if they put that much thought into it.
Speaking of, yeah, whether or not they put thought into it, one of the things that I don't know how I feel about it, I don't know if you've seen any of these pop-up ads. This is a little apropos of nothing, but Metallica has like a master class in like being a rock band.
Good Lord.
Like what the hell kind of crap is that?
I'll tell you what's funny is this isn't exactly about that, but we were just watching on the Netflix, they got the movie This Is Sparks. I think that's what it's called. Have you seen that?
No, or what is
it? Commercial for it. Have you ever heard of the band Sparks?
Sparks. No, what are they?
They are this weird band that like started in the late 60s, 70s, and since then they're just incredibly prolific. The center of the band is two brothers who are from California, but they first hit it big in England. But they put out like 25 albums and hundreds of songs, and the whole movie is like all these like famous people talk. Oh, they're so great, like Mike Myers and Beck and Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols and all these other people doing little, you know, oh, there's, I remember seeing them this time and that time, and they're like two weird guys, and like I, you know, and one of the people's like, you know, when you're with musicians and you're traveling, talking on the bus, going from one tour stop to the next, inevitably we talk about Sparks, which is like, okay.
Sparks.
But anyways, I didn't actually finish watching the whole movie. It's an entertaining movie. Like finding out a band I don't really know anything about. Like I knew one of their songs from like a compilation, but they're sitting there, they're doing the part of the movie, this documentary, where they're talking about the hardships they went through. And it's like, give me a break. Because it's like, oh, they were both going to UCLA and they found a couple other people and they were recording like at a studio at UCLA, their demo. And then they started passing it around. And they're like instantly getting meetings with record company executives. And yeah. The first bunch tell them no. They're all like, oh, this is really interesting, but no, we don't think we can sell this. But then like, oh, one of them is dating Todd Rundgren's ex-girlfriend, and she passed the tape on to Todd Rundgren. And he's like, oh, sure, I'll produce you. And they put out, like immediately, they get two albums out on a major American label. They like play on American Bandstand.
Oh, you're kidding.
But they're like, they don't sell well at all. So like, wow, what hardship. Imagine if we were stuck with that kind of hardship of immediately getting signed to a major label and getting to make two albums without selling anything and getting on
like
a big time show. And then, you know, so then the major label says goodbye to them because they're not selling anything. And then they immediately get picked up by a British major label who's like, "Oh, ditch the rest of your band in America. Come here. We'll get more of a straight rock edge to your music with this British band." And they go over and immediately like put out a number of albums. They get put on Top of the Pops and they start selling like crazy. It's like not hardship, but like the one hardship thing they had was talking about how they had just been on American Bandstand, but they're still at the grocery store buying food with food stamps. And it's like the cashier recognizes them for being on TV, and then they have to go, "Well, here's our food stamps." But it's like you struggled for a few months there. It's kind of like the hardship story of their band. Yeah. And like, it was a different time back then. And like, it's not their fault that, you know, the way it is with music and all, but like, it's just kind of funny watching the hardship part of their movie. So it's funny to think that Metallica is going to teach people how to be a rock band.
Yeah, right? It's that kind of same thing. Like, "Oh yeah, all you have to do is just play play for 10 years. You know, like, what are you going to tell them? Like, play live shows for like 5 or 10 years?
First, you got to pay Metallica for the masterclass, I bet, right?
Yes. Oh yeah, of course.
So they're going to, "Here's our foolproof two-step plan. Form a band with Dave Mustaine and then kick him out of the band."
That's right.
Boom.
"When you get big, start to get bigger, kick him out of the band, then make sure, you know, what happened to their bass player? Oh, he just retired, right? He didn't die, did he?"
Which bass player? The first bass player died.
The first one died?
First one died. Oh, man. That's why they got a second one, like in 1986.
Yeah. Oh, but then the second one retired.
No, they fired him. Right? You didn't see that movie? Some Kind of Monster?
Oh, is that when they fired him?
They were in a big hiatus. Like, they started working on this crappy album, and then the guitarist went into treatment for his alcoholism. And so they had like years of being dormant, not doing anything. And the bassist did a side project, and they fired him for disloyalty.
Oh, yeah. Well, didn't he play? Isn't he the guy then who played with like a bunch of guys in their garage?
I don't know. I don't follow that closely. He was later on Rockstar Supernova.
Rockstar Supernova. Is that like a competition?
It was a reality show. Yeah, it was really dumb. It was really dumb show.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like Jason Newsted, the bassist, and it was like one of the other guitarists from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, Buckethead?
No. Like a rhythm guitarist from Guns N' Roses, like Gilby.
Oh, Izzy Stradlin. Was it Izzy Stradlin?
Okay, maybe I don't know anything about Guns N' Roses, but then they had I don't remember who else.
I just remember Izzy Stradlin because he did Izzy Stradlin and the Juju Hounds as his side project. Like, he threw his name on top as if anybody knows who he is. They could have just been the Juju Hounds. Like, who the hell knows who Izzy Stradlin is? But I guess I found out because I paid attention.
Anyways.
Well, I wish we had Sparks as Problems. I think what we're missing, though, I was just thinking about this, hearing this song, is I'd love to play a live show at Pizza Bob's.
Pizza Bob's? 800 South State Street? Hey, Henry. Do you remember back when our favorite rock band put out a dance album?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Hey, who could forget? Yeah.
That was the time of my life. It was the swinging 2020s.
Yeah, exactly. The swinging 2020s.
Everything was right in the world.
They were playing hits at the club.
I'll tell you what brings me back. It's songs like "The Weekend Starts on Thursday Night."
The weekend starts on Thursday night. The weekend starts on Thursday night. The weekend starts on Thursday night. The weekend starts on Thursday night.
You remember, you can't lock down the beat.
I can't lock down the beat.
Who could forget that jam?
I remember.
But I'll tell you what gets my heart pumping is "Sprinkle Some Diamonds." Such a classic.
I remember meeting my wife to that song.
Sometimes, though, you're in the mood for something a little more laid back, a little more classy, and that's when I always put on Douglas Stank's immortal version of Chopin's Prelude E Minor. But you can still dance to it.
That's right.
can forget their immortal hit, My Baby Has Poop-Stained Balls.
Oh, yeah. And I remember shaking it like an Etch-A-Sketch.
Oh, that dance sensation was everywhere. People dancing like they're turning the knobs, dancing like they're erasing their Etch-A-Sketches. Takes me back.
I was turning so many knobs back then. I was served with a cease and desist.
You know, I also like the classic sort of like album tracks that maybe they didn't get the radio airplay, but man, did I like the jam all night to Love Is an Open Sore.
Love is an open sore.
Oh, yeah. No, that's one earworm that festers like nothing else.
Yes, it festers.
It festers into your heart. Prove your heart.
And of course, the collection wouldn't be complete without the Eurodance hit Love and Dancing. Love.
That's true.
And dance.
Nothing else going on in the early 2020s. And bunch dancing. Of jam in the clubs.
Love. And dancing.
Where can I find this collection of music, though?
If they were smart, they'd only release it in limited quantities as an NFT.
But they're not smart. It's available everywhere.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, no.
Coming soon on streaming service and downloaded, available everywhere. Douglas Stank, we would like you to
dance.
Hey, did you hear the news?
What news is that, Henry?
Pizza Bob's is moving 110 feet north to 800 South State.
Wow, all my favorites are 110 feet closer to campus. All the delicious pizza, milkshakes, oven-baked subs, calzones, and of course the world-famous chapatis that I loved at 814 South State Street will be moving, but only 110 feet to 800 South State Street, the new home of Pizza Bob.
Yeah. So now you know where to go if you want to go to Pizza Bob's.
How exciting! All the great food of this Ann Arbor institution will now be on the corner of South State Street and Hill.
800 South State.
The new home of Pizza Bob's.
800 South State.
The new home of Pizza Bob's.
800 South State. Listen. Listen with your ears.
That's the place. They have they have enough room to host a live show, ample space, good food. Shakes, chapati.
Well, I guess you'll have to book the show with them then.
We will have to book with them. What's their address again and phone number?
I'm going to cut the commercial in right here as a thing. We don't actually have to say it.
Right, but I still think yes. Okay, that's got to be on this year's plan. It would be legendary.
I sit there because, like, you know, if you book the show, I would make it work. But I sit there thinking, how the heck would we play a live show?
We got it, you know, because we did it once. Well, I mean, granted, those were covers, but you knew how to pull off the parts that we needed done electronically.
No, it's
while
just
we played the other parts.
We'd have to hire a band.
Oh man, okay.
Anyways, all right. So we got the guitar, the drums, and the bass.
Yeah, we probably would need for some of the songs. We'd need like 4 guitars and 2 basses, maybe.
Oh, yeah, 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 a couple keyboards.
Yeah, a couple of keyboards. Oh, man. We'd turn into, like, a good Arcade Fire.
Like, yeah, Arcade Fire would be good if it only destroyed, like, Pole Position Defender.
What about Burger Time, though?
Other people like Burger Time a lot more than I do. It's a bit
now,
tedious.
What about have you played that game where, like, you sling beers, too? And you slide beers. Tapper. What is that one called? Beer tapper.
Beer tapper. Yes. Also not a big fan of beer tapper.
Next time we convene at the Analog Dungeon on this side of the Mississippi, we should go to, there's a place called Analog where it's all like classic games, like Burger Time, but better too.
Well, I know someone who has like a tabletop, like multi-game that has all the old games. So it has Burger Time, yeah. Mr. Dew's Castle, a dozen Pac-Man versions, most of which really suck. Like original Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. No, Ms. Pac-Man's the best. I was playing Pac-Man on it. You know what the real difference is?
What's that?
Pac-Man's the same board every level.
Oh, yes, you're right.
It gets a bit boring.
But Ms. Pac-Man changes it up.
Yeah, every 2 levels you change the board and... So, because I was always wondering, like when I was a kid, arcades would always have Ms. Pac-Man, and they never had regular Pac-Man, but they always had Ms. Pac-Man, and that's why
Yeah, because people would get bored, or they'd be able to memorize the map too much. They'd go too long on one quarter.
Well, it's just, it's not, like, it's boring if you're just playing the same board. He's like, four or five levels in, you're like, again? Like, sure, it's like a different fruit or whatever. Let's do next the clip of the surprise lead instrument. Did you recognize what it was?
The surprise lead? Hold on.
All right, so what are we playing there? What's that instrument?
Oh my God, is that is it the stylophone?
It is the stylophone.
Yes.
Stylophone run through some effects. But yes.
The stylophone is so useful.
So if you're not familiar, stylophone is, it's almost like a toy, but it's an electronic instrument. You have a metal play surface that is sort of segmented to look like a piano keyboard for like a two octave, I don't know, like an octave and a half range of like the white keys and black keys. It's all in the metal surface, and you have a metal stylus that's like hooked by wire, and when you touch it, you complete the circuit, it makes that buzzing sound. And so you're either tapping the different notes, or you can drag it across to like slur it, but it makes a weird tone. And
yeah, anyways. You can in real time change the octave and all that, right?
It's got a few features. You can actually change its tuning, but you can you can change low, high, you know, low, medium, high, and volume, but mostly just makes a buzzing sound.
Now, which one was that? Was that the original stylophone?
It's the one I own.
Okay. So that's the, yes, that's the one.
It's going to be a reproduction of, like, you know, okay. It wasn't made 60 years ago. It was made recently, but someone tried to reproduce the original one or whatever.
I do think David Bowie used it on some tracks.
Are you trying FYI. To access the internet?
No. I actually just bought one.
Oh yeah.
I've been missing one so long.
I haven't had an opportunity to use the automatone yet.
Yes,
in a
I was hoping it was the automatone.
I don't know,
but I think it was.
I have. You got me an automatone, and I have it marked. I actually marked with a piece of tape on the side the approximations for notes.
Oh, nice. That's smart. That's like what you would do, what someone would do with a violin when they're like,
how would you describe the automatone?
The automatone is like a Pokemon that makes sounds that you squeeze.
I would say it's very strange looking. It has a strap like you wear it around your neck. It's vaguely shaped like you would wear it around your neck like a saxophone, but it in general looks much more like genitalia.
It looks like genitalia?
Yeah, because it doesn't end in like a saxophone horn. It ends in like a big scrotum. And the whole body of it is is like a long straight shaft. For one person who didn't have a dirty mind, it looks like a note, maybe like a note on a sheet of music. It vaguely has a tail at the top that also makes it kind of look like a saxophone mouthpiece. But the bottom part, oddly, has a little face drawn in that you could open up. But when you are squeezing this thing to operate it, it looks like balls. Like you're just squeezing balls.
Oh, man. Well, I didn't realize that when I bought it. I mean, man, that's pretty crazy. It's Japanese, though, I guess. They like that kind of stuff, probably.
Yeah, it's totally Japanese. That's something to look forward to.
One thing I'm trying to save up for is like a drum set with MIDI. Like one of those nice electronic drum sets with true MIDI that we could just like, then I could jack it into the computer and send you MIDI drum bits. And then I could contribute more direct.
Speaking of that, what did you contribute to this song?
That's a good question, really. I don't know. Spirits?
Moral support, right?
Moral support, yes. Yeah. I would have loved to contribute to the song if I could make things work at my end.
Because this one actually, to throw back the curtain a little bit, the only soft synth used on this song, do you have a guess? There's only one.
The drum.
The drums, yes. The drums are samples played as MIDI. And, you know, all the rest, the bass is me playing bass guitar. The guitars are me playing guitars. The xylophone is me playing xylophone.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive. Everything you can put together. This shows off your studio wizardry that you've developed here.
All right, so do we want to play the song here at the end? Anything more to add about the song? Or any guesses about where the song is popular or...
I would say this song is popular Central Europe and possibly Africa or is it the Caribbean or the Caribbean? The Caribbean islands. Where is it most popular?
I can't load up the website quick enough.
Oh, well, can you put that in later on with Studio Wizardry? You just like...
No, but I will tell you that I was looking from at a distributor and... Okay, I don't really know how Facebook works, but it said, I looked and it said, oh, we had 100 plays on Facebook and it earned us such and such amount of money. And so I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know how that works. I click on it and they were all in 1 month. And I click on that month and then it says 50 plays in Germany, 50 plays in Slovakia.
What?
All for the song Social Distance. Not this song, but Social Distance played 100 times on Facebook, 50 times in Germany, 50 times in Slovakia.
How on Facebook?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if that means that, like, 100 different times somebody, like, just picked, like, they just have a streaming part to Facebook, or... Does that mean someone picked the song to be the background of something that went like the lowest form of viral or what? I don't know.
That's a damn good question. I don't know how. I didn't think Facebook would even let that happen, though. You know, because if it was in the background, Facebook would demonetize it for that person and monetize it to us. But maybe that's what happened.
See, I don't know how Facebook works. I was like, because imagine, because like I've seen where a song has been played on TikTok. And so I'm imagining that, like, you're going through the settings and you're putting something on TikTok, and so you're picking from a list of songs. Maybe you're searching and then you pick the song to play in the background. So I'm imagining maybe there's something on Facebook where you can pick a song, and since Facebook can get the song sent to them, so that they can, you know, they're not stealing the rights. The song plays, they pay a penny or whatever. They kept track. They delivered the information that I got paid 100 times. I don't know.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, it was must have been low form of viral. It wasn't just people clicking on the link that when you say we're live, but that's on Twitter usually when you post that, right?
I don't have a Facebook presence. Facebook. So it's one of those times their song got played and it wasn't me.
If Facebook expands access to licensed music for game streams, maybe it made its way into a game stream.
That's pretty funny.
Wouldn't that be awesome? I wonder what game.
I'm just imagining that maybe someone, I don't know. This seems quite strange.
So apparently DJ Khalid and Diplo or Diplo are popular that way, but also Douglas Stank.
That's what the article says, right?
Yeah, it's right in there. We should add that to our Wikipedia.
Oh, I lost the link. I can't tell you where the link is, but I read it. You can look it up.
It's there. That is awesome.
All right, if you want to find us on Twitter, I'm at Stank Douglas. What's your name? I think you were Stank _ Douglas or something.
Yes, yeah, Stank _ Douglas. That's what it is. You can tweet at us.
But otherwise, here is the song. Listen to my hot takes.
Wait, and we could be found on streaming services. Hold on. Right? Like Amazon Unlimited, Spotify.
All of them. Name one.
Okay, Amazon Unlimited. Yes. How about Spotify?
We're on there.
How about Apple Music?
We're on there.
The Android music place where people download music. If you have an Android.
Android's a free country, and you go to any streaming service you want. You're not pushed like you are on an iPhone to go to only Apple iPhone, Music.
Yeah, push you to Apple Music or Amazon. We're on Amazon Unlimited. I would recommend you stream on Amazon Unlimited.
Listen to your hot takes, gotta listen to mine.
Here's all the hot takes you won't hear on the TV. All the statues in public should be made to look like me. Let's burn the places others like to the ground. Let's free all the evil pit bulls from the pound. You should never, ever litter unless you really want to. It's selfish and no other bands will stand the fight full. Nobody wants to hear your birth story. And I think RoboCop was too gory. It's the truth.
Hey, listen to your hot takes.
Hot takes that are true. You can burn yourself when you touch hot things. It doesn't even matter how well the red commie sings. I don't believe what you say about Greek yogurt. Trying to do a backflip for the first time is gonna hurt.
Come on,
I think most children practice poor personal hygiene.
Yeah.
A conspiracy to support corporate rash cream?
Probably.
I didn't leave jean shorts, they left me.
So sad.
I prefer water to all forms of hot tea.
Yeah.
Hot takes,
listen,
it's the truth. Just because they run away.
Exactly.
Hot takes.
And listen to your hot